Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, there is nothing like a legal battle to help publicise your product, and it's worked pretty well for Channel 9 and its new show Underbelly. It would have to be the most publicised series this year due to its prominent court case in Victoria. Mark Hadley can tell us whether it's basically been worth all the legal fees. Hi, Mark.
Hey, buddy. How you going?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been interesting, hasn't it? Been interesting to watch the whole thing.
Well, I think interesting because we're watching it. I have some friends in the publicity department at Channel 9, and frankly, they haven't had the best time because it was an on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again situation.
And, of course, those of us who are listening in Melbourne don't get to watch any of the episodes because of the court case.
Or do they?
Because so many people are downloading it and also getting it off construction sites
and all sorts of things like
dodgy
that.
DVD.
It does, as an aside, before we get into the review, it does actually raise part of the problem associated with media law in Australia and in terms of courts issuing injunctions to prevent the airing of programs on a state-by-state basis, because it's really, it's law that relates to, or it's precedent that relates to, the days when newspapers didn't cross borders, when television programs were broadcast by local stations, when networks didn't really exist.
Totally
didn't
different program. Media environment.
Exactly. I mean, it's really pre-1970s television. So the idea that a court could actually prevent a jury pool from being contaminated by saying, well, we won't actually allow it to be broadcast in Victoria, it's a very interesting result.
Yeah. Certainly shows that things need to be updated. It was appropriate for it not to be played in Victoria, do you think?
Look, in regard to the nature of the program, let's get right into the program. Underbelly is a no-holds-bar sort of look at the criminal culture and the key characters that were in it from the early 1990s right up until the mid-first decade of the new millennium. So, around about 1994 up to 2005, overlapping a bit here and there in the series. And, it has some... It spares no detail, and it doesn't do anything to try and enamour you to the characters. We're not looking for a particular sort of black hero somewhere who we're going to sort of get behind. All of them are dirty, rotten scoundrels, and you're wondering who's going to kill who first. So in that respect, realizing that the program is based on true events but is actually dramatized, I think, it probably was a good idea if there was an ongoing... Well, there were a couple of ongoing court cases associated with this spree of killing that, spanned 9 years. It probably was a good idea to hold things off. Having said that, the television producer inside me says, can you really defame some of these people? Can you really... I mean, is their reputation really capable of being damaged any further? These are criminal figures that have been in the public eye for nigh on a decade.
Yes, but wouldn't it come down to a real case of whether they're actually guilty of this particular thing? And if you've watched a TV dramatisation of what they supposedly have done, then you would be guided by that.
Yeah, well, I think having sat in a jury pool, I'm sure that many of the listeners have actually done this at some stage. I think that people are capable of saying, well, this is real life and this is television. I may have heard this. And sometimes being aware of the way that the media has presented certain cases or these types of cases, when you sit in a jury room, you're actually ultra cautious. So long as there's a distinction, maybe you really shouldn't have a ban like that. And I realise that I've now gone full circle, just contradicted myself in a space of 2 minutes.
That's what happens on this show. It's amazing. People change their minds.
Sheridan, you're a convincing guy. But basically, the truth of the matter is...
Give me your money.
Yeah, thank you. The truth of the matter is that with a program like Underbelly, it is that muddy because we're looking at what is supposed to be, in one respect, history, and in another respect, it's drama.
So when the first few episodes go to air, some of the critics were saying, oh, well, it's actually kind of ho-hum to some degree, a bit colourless. What did you make of the first episode and the second?
First two episodes, anyone who's seen them would probably have been distinctly reminded of Romeo and Juliet, Baz Luhrmann's sort of take on it. The style is, is pirated. It's basically been picked up and used. It's very much like the opening scenes of... And they've progressed that through the series. And I actually had my doubts when I saw the first couple of episodes. In terms of just good television, I thought, oh, gosh, have we just tried to take a documentary style and mash it together with Baz Luhrmann and some funky music and sharp cutting, and there you go. We've got ourselves a television series. But then, as the series goes on, I actually think, I've only seen up to episode 4 now. I'm actually surprised and happy how it's bedding itself down, how you're starting to look at some of these characters. I still think that there are some problems, like I still think that the narration that goes over the top of it is a bit too sort of, great unsolved mysteries. It's still a bit weird. But, apart from that, I think it's a good series.
What does Underbelly tell us about evil?
Underbelly's got a really interesting way of seeing evil. I think a very common one for society, but one, you know, well worth picking out. It sees evil as almost a genetic problem. You know, it sees evil as inherent, but inherent to some people, not to others. It divides the world up into three very familiar groups. You know, the good guys, read the cops, the bad guys, read the gangsters, and the victims, or the rest of us, you know. And it's the bad guys who, even if they realise that they're doing the wrong thing and have a desire to stop doing the wrong thing, are actually incapable of doing the wrong thing. And this provides the argument for the good guys coming in and meeting out justice straight on the street, you know, if necessary, because these are bad guys and they won't listen any other way and they can't be controlled. Now, I mean, we would not, you know, be happy with that sort of basic, you know, use of good, bad, and others if it was us involved, if we got classified that way, if we happened to fall into one of the wrong categories.
That's right.
But having said that, we do tend to operate that way when we look at the media. We sort of look at these characters on television, or we look at people who hit the front page, and we go, they're bad. And in fact, we come up with a new category. There's not just bad people out there. There are evil people. Evil people who are just genetically to the core irredeemable. And we have certain classes of crime that you can commit in Australia, which I think socially we respond to as evil crime. You know, pedophilia is a classic, mass murder, child abuse, or any form of sort of family abuse. We look at these people and go, oh, evil. But I can't really live with a definition of evil that's something like this, because while it condemns one, really cleans the slate for me. I'm not that black, so I'm not that bad, so I'm not really bad at all, really, in comparison. If evil was just a level of degree, then that'd be fine. But if evil was a rejection of a standard, rather than, you know, a rejection rather than just how much you reject it, then, you know, we're in trouble, all of us. Well, the interesting thing about Underbelly is that people struggle with the idea in Underbelly as to where evil comes from, but they have no trouble about what to do about it. You know, evil really does have to be punished. And you get that sense of it through the series that you're waiting for the hammer to fall on all of these bad guys through Underbelly. You expect it. Terrible people who beat people up with pool cues and, you know, and drag people, shoot them in public or drag them to parked cars and do horrible things to them. You don't have to scratch the surface too much, you know, in our life to find out that we really ache for justice.
We do.
We really want to see, you know, evil punished. Mm. We really do need some sort of global reckoning that does better than the Victorian police, you know, better than the federal police or anyone else. We need someone better than George W. Bush to sort of fly in with the US Marshals. Mm. We need some sort of intelligence, that is not only aware of everything that somebody has done, but is capable of dealing with it. And I think you actually appeal to that sort of sense of justice that comes from heaven, I think, when you watch a program like Underbelly, because you go, this guy must, something must happen
must,
to him.
Something must be done. Yeah.
And there's something in that.
Are there any depictions of remorse by these gangland leaders?
There is. There is. And in fact, I was really quite amazed that, you know, for a program that actually has many issues with the sort of things you want to watch, and I would warn some people who are very, you know, careful about what they see, that there are some very explicit sex scenes, you know, in this series. I'm actually quite surprised that it's airing at 8:30. There are some very explicit material, but then there's the most explicit gospel presentation sometimes I have ever seen in a television program. I mean, look, actually, I've got a quote handy. I'll just read this. In episode one, anybody who's seen it, there's this particularly nasty piece of work called Alphonse. And, you know, Alphonse gets into a conversation with a cool girl, and she basically says, look, I keep wondering whether it's possible to change myself, my life. How does it work? And she turns to Alphonse and says, you're a Catholic, you tell me. And he says, well, you know, redemption, it's all about repentance. Confess your sins. You ask for forgiveness and you get a clean slate. That's it. Provided you repent, that's the catch. Hmm. You know? And she says, sounds too good to be true. You know, which is the human response to that sort of offer. You know, how could someone like Alphonse just wipe the slate? And he says, I hope not. I hope it's not untrue, because he understands at that point in the story that really what he needs is somebody to wipe the slate clean, because otherwise there's nothing.
Interesting. You
know, nothing's going to get him out.
Mark Adley, thank you.
Mate, it's a pleasure.
Always is to have you in the studio. Mark Adley there from Anglican Media. More of his ideas on Underbelly at theopenhouse.net.au and his own website, christianity.net.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.